And so if we're going to build strong churches, we have to build strong men, because strong men build strong families.
From the pages of Church Growth Magazine, helping church leaders implement their vision, this is the Church Growth Magazine podcast with your host, Brian Boyd.
This is the Church Growth Magazine podcast, and today our guest is Paul Cole. Paul is the president of Christian Men's Network out of Texas and around the world. Hey, Paul.
Yeah, well, I wish I was out of Texas. You know, we're based in
Texas.
Yeah, we're based in Texas, Brian, but have offices in around the world. God has really done a remarkable work in the hearts of men. And so as this thing goes out, you know, the key, the core in over 100 nations is building strong churches. I believe the church is the hope of the world. And so if we're going to build strong churches, we have to build strong men, because strong men build strong families. And really, if somebody asks me, what's the core of our mission? That's it.
So our podcast reaches thousands of church leaders around the world. And the goal of the magazine is to bring a business perspective, one of the goals, but to bring a business perspective to church growth. And so we cover topics like technology and finance and leadership. And from the CMN's perspective, men's ministry is a key contributor to church growth. Tell me why that is.
Well, it's like, use the example of a container, you know, that has water or liquid in it. That container, the strength of that container is what contains what's inside of it. And men bring strength. You can get spirituality from the women, but you get strength from the men. And Darlene Check, who's a friend, Mark and Darlene, pastor in Australia, and Darlene has written a number of great songs. But Darlene, she spoke at the start of an event we did in Lima, Peru a few years ago. She was in the country, and we asked her, would you come and speak? And she shared. She stood up and she said this: when men worship, women feel safe. I never forgot that, Brian, because it spoke to what the difference is and what the uniquenesses are between us as men and women. A men's movement, by the very nature of it being a godlike, Christlike, God-centered movement, is going to honor women, prefer women, protect women, to enable, if you will, or to help women become everything God's designed them to be. And so a true men's movement is a movement of honor and character. And the content of a man's heart is really what he ends up doing. So that's what we minister to, Brian, is we minister to a man's heart so that what he does with his hands becomes Christ-like.
Churches that don't have a men's ministry, it sounds like it's probably complicated to get this going, right? I mean, how do you even begin this type of an outreach?
You know, that's fascinating. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said this: here's this young man raised by his mother and his grandmother. And Paul looks at this young man and says, "This, you've got greatness in you. Don't let people put you down because you're young. And you don't have a spirit of fear on you, but you've got power, love." And so he's constantly encouraging his young protege. One of the core things he said to him was this: what I have given to you by the laying on of my hands, that same impartation, entrust this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So really, discipleship is passing along, if you will, and helping others and guiding them into what it means to follow Jesus Christ. You know, what are the disciplines of faith? The simplicity of the ministry to men is shown in the life of Jesus. He didn't minister to his men as they sat in pews, though I'm sure there were times where he taught, where the crowds were there and so forth. Mm-hmm. But most of his time with his men was spent around a table, around a campfire, around a boat as they fished. In other words, it was in a real life situation. And that's why we encourage men's small groups, however you want to articulate that, a small group, a cell group, a one another lifestyle. The core thing is that men bond shoulder to shoulder facing a challenge. Women bond face to face over a cup of tea.
Yeah. So this is an interesting time as we head into 2020. This decade has been interesting. And in today's political climate, I think I'd like to have you comment on the role of men's ministry in today's. I can't turn on the news ever, whether it be a morning news show or an evening news show, and there's some sort of a comment about men and this thing. So yeah. Something else in the news here recently too. What's your thought on that in the church?
Yeah, here's what it is. I believe that, and I'll take you to Isaiah, the third chapter. But let me make this comment. If we're talking about it from a business standpoint, if we're talking about it from a church growth business standpoint, it is always more productive for a business to keep customers than to try finding new customers.
It's true.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, all day long.
Okay. So you've been in business and marketing, and if you can keep customers once you have them, it's much better. So here's a stat. Now, this is key. 95% of the 13-year-olds in the churches, well, let me just use where I live. I live in the United States. 95% of the 13-year-olds, men and women, boys and girls, 95% of the 13-year-olds in our churches today will be gone by the time they're 23 years old. So what we've done is we've taken, and in advertising, we've taken a true niche, a young person whose life could be molded and shaped, who could become, if you will, part of what we do for the rest of their lives. And we've literally 95% of them, we've allowed them to walk out the door. And I believe it's a spirit of fatherhood that is not on our churches and not on a lot of our senior leadership. And we have to move to that. Where I have seen, and I'm in thousands of churches or with thousands of pastors and in hundreds of churches every year. But in talking with different pastors, different groups, different streams, I mean, from the middle of Indonesia to the middle of Botswana to the middle of Jackson, Mississippi. And the same thing is true. Where I have seen pastors and leaders pick up a spirit of a father, it changes the temperature, the atmosphere of the entire church, and it changes the way young people respond or react to that person.
Wow.
It totally changes it. You know, Paul said this. He said, you have 10,000 instructors, but not many fathers.
Mm-hmm.
When he spoke that, what he was speaking about was his love for the church at Corinth. He said, I love you like a father. Let me explain. He said, you have 10,000 instructors, but not many fathers.
Hmm.
There are many, many teachings out of that, but here's the core principle of that, Brian. An instructor tells you what he knows, but a father gives you who he is.
Hmm.
That's the key. So a father, in looking at a young person 14, 15 years old, doesn't look at them and trying to measure them up by boxing them in or, you know, pull your pants up or take that or wear shoes or,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
What we're looking at is what Paul did to Timothy is he reached inside Timothy's heart, pulled out his future and showed it to him. He said, here is what you can be. Here's what you can do. Mm-hmm. Here's the kind of life you can live. And when Timothy fell down and when Timothy had a problem, Paul didn't say, wait a minute, that's not what I taught you. What he said was, Timothy, you've got greatness in you, not a spirit of fear, but in you is power, love, and a sound mind, wisdom, and sound judgment. And too often we look at our young people and we say, hey, you guys need to measure up, or you need to do this or that. And, you know, young people are active and they want to do stuff and they want to, but too often what we do is we answer that by giving them games, yeah, fun stuff. And we never get to the core issue of discipleship, fatherhood, mm-hmm, fatherhood. Let me give you this in Isaiah 3, Brian. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And this is God. This is the first covenant. And this is God dealing with some people. You know, the second covenant says in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, these things happened to Israel in order to be a picture for us. So if you will, the first covenant is a picture for us of God trying to bring some people to a place of maturity. The second covenant is the ability, the power to become mature through the power of the Holy Spirit. And maturity, very simple. You asked, is this simple? These things are all simple. Maturity is the ability to make the right choice, even when the emotions or context of the moment would cause you to do something different. That's maturity.
Point. That's a good point.
Yeah. And we've all made immature decisions.
About 10
minutes. I mean, I told somebody the other day, Brian, that there's been one constant in my life, that any time there was a wrong decision made, the one constant, I was there.
Thanks, Paul.
Isaiah, the third chapter.
Go ahead.
God says this. So he's trying to bring some people to a place of, you know, getting them mature. And Israel is just messed up again. And he says, behold, the Lord of hosts. In other words, he says, hey, it's me talking. He said, I'm going to take away from Jerusalem and from Judah, your security, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water. In other words, he says, you think you're strong? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take away the supply of bread, supply of water, and your security. What's that? Security, Father, supply of bread, Jesus, supply of water, Holy Spirit. Picture for us. And in verse 2, he says, and then here's the first two things, Brian, that I will take out of your culture that will begin to tip it over. You know, when you're chopping down a tree, the first couple hits, if you're using an axe, are so important because that's where you take the notch out of the tree that causes it to fall a particular direction.
Mm-hmm.
So you take that, you swipe it down at a horizontal, you know, at a 45 degree, and then you cut up into that and you take a notch out of the tree. See, men are like trees. They will always fall the direction they're leaning. So our role as leaders is to get them leaning to get
right
that
way.
Notch.
Yeah.
To tip them a certain direction. So now here's God saying, here's the two things that will notch, that will take out, that will cause your nation to tip over. If I take out these two things, it begins to fall. And here's what they are. The mighty man and the man of war. The mighty man and the man of war. In another translation, it says, I will take away your heroes and your warriors. So every great culture has always been built on the character of its heroes and the courage of its warriors. True of every great culture,
mm-hmm,
true of every great family, and true of every great church.
So let me ask you a real tactical question. And for those of you listening, we don't practice ahead of time. I don't give the questions ahead of time. So this is all very spontaneous. But one of the topics we talk about in the magazine is multi-site campuses, you know, online church, broadcast technology, et cetera. I mean, I know churches that their online audience is bigger than their physical audience. How can you build a men's ministry and have that translate to the online audience? I think I know younger people and even adults that they attend church by watching it on their computer, right?
Yes.
So how does all this, things are changing. I mean, how does this work?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I believe in media. I've been in media all my life, professionally, before I even picked this mantle up of my father's. I wasn't in quote-unquote ministry. I was in a business setting in which we help ministries reach people through every means possible. And now I believe that what we've been given, I mean, you have a broadcast channel on your phone. In fact, you're able to broadcast from your phone.
It's true.
Literally.
It's crazy.
To nine, there's nine, there, what is there? 7.5 billion people, but there's 9 billion phones.
It's true.
9 billion phones.
Yeah.
You go, I don't care where you go, in the villages in the middle of, you know, Asia, wherever, there's a phone. I believe God gave us that, Brian, in order to take the gospel to every person. Now, we talked a moment ago, 1 Corinthians 10, God taking Israel through some things in order to model for us or be a picture. I believe that everything can produce a model, and every model can be reproduced and replicated. If it's a model that can't be reproduced, then it's not a good model. I think Andy Stanley calls it transportable. If you're sharing a vision and that person you're sharing it with can't share it with somebody else, then you have not created something that's transportable.
Right.
So it can't be shared. So let's talk about that. What is it that will build a men's ministry even using online, multi-site, whatever? First of all, multi-site is great. My son-in-law is on the staff with a great friend by the name of Robert Morris, Robert and Debbie Morris. They pastor a church called Gateway here in this area. They have multi-site. I have a number of friends who have that. I have a number of friends who have done it many different ways. Pastor Robert does it with video. Pastor Jürgen Matisius, with his multi-site in San Diego, does it all with pastors and leaders that he has trained to speak. And so they use speakers at all their 14 services that they have in different campuses. So everybody can do it a different way. The core, though, in each of those is there are people there. So the key is to model, if you will, a small group, however that looks. Lakewood Church, on their Tuesday night Maximize Manhood group, which is the book my father wrote, which is the predication for this ministry, Christian Men's Network, and the Global Fatherhood Initiative, came out of Maximize Manhood and a number of other books. And then we created a curriculum that goes with each one of those. They have more of a classroom style on a Tuesday night, and they may have 180 to 300 men in a classroom style. But then, even then, they break that up into small groups for the end of it, for them to pray for each other, to create a sort of community.
That's great, yeah.
Now, you model that on the head end. In other words, let's say you're multi-site and you're in Waterloo, Iowa, and you've got three other sites out of that city there in Iowa. So what you start in the head end, remember the DNA of the kingdom always comes from the DNA of the king. So the atmosphere of a cult or the culture of a church will always come from its leadership. However that may be, whether it's a presbytery or a pastor-led, vision-led church, however the structure is, it will, that DNA of the entire church comes from that leadership, the tip of the spear, right? Influence is like water. It runs downhill. Mm-hmm. So that influence, that atmosphere, everything lives or dies based on the atmosphere. So if you create an atmosphere by that group, the tip of the spear, in other words, you can't do men's ministry and just relegate it to some guy who happens to have enough time or enough passion.
Right.
You know, hey, here's Jamal. He loves doing this. And Jamal, go for it. And then he goes off and does it and doesn't get the support of the pastor, or the pastor's not involved. And we've got a whole series of things on that we teach about the pastor being involved. In fact, we talk about what are the seven keys, and that's somewhere on one of our sites, cmn.men. But the key thing is this. Multi-site, all of those things, the atmosphere of that multi-site, the atmosphere of that online presence is going to pick up whatever it is. It's the center DNA. And what you pick up, here's Jesus 2,000 years later, from the writings of men who were around him, we pick up the DNA of brotherhood. Yeah. We pick that up. It's not something that we saw. We pick up the DNA of it. So people are going to pick that up. And here's where that can happen. And I'll give you an example. There's a man in Zimbabwe who wrote to us. He said, I've watched some of your videos. I've watched a church in South Africa and some of what they did online. So we have started a group here Chiridzi or somewhere down there in southern Zimbabwe.
Wow.
He said, we've started a group here in Chiridzi, Zimbabwe, and we just want you to know we're meeting. And where can we get materials? And so we told him where to get them. They're out of Joburg in South Africa. Now, here's a guy that started something just based on a couple of things he had watched. So if you're doing online, we can't be naive to think that people aren't checking, you know, our local Yahoo score or TripAdvisor or,
you know,
any of these other social media things on our church. People are looking at comments that other people have said. As much as we want all of that to be really nice, sometimes it's not. People look at that. They look at our videos. They look at, you know, when you have the little who we are thing and you got a little video under that, people watch those.
Sure.
So if on your site it says men's ministry or men, and on there is, you know, like a John Bowman who goes on for 8 minutes, who says, here's who we are. Here's what we do. Here's the DNA. Or Todd McIntyre, who uses Rice Brooks' little purple book, and he said, here, we'll send you these. And what's a men's group? Well, it's two guys. it's the one another lifestyle. Pastor Eddie Leo, who's on our board in Jakarta, they've built a church. He and his two friends, they begin to live in college a one another lifestyle. They called it Love One Another. So they called it the One Another Lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And they began to disciple, first of all, themselves in a group of three. Then each one of them got somebody else. And now, 26 years later, there's 200,000 people. They just broke them up into 12 churches. So I was trying to remember what each one of them, but 200,000 people that are part of Abba Love Church that started from, and they still maintain a one another lifestyle. So a men's group doesn't have to be some sort of sophisticated formula.
Right.
You know, I love what Chris Hodges said. He said, in our church there in Birmingham, he said, if you get a couple guys and they go out on a bike ride and at the end of it, they get together and pray for each other. He said, that's a group.
There you go. And we're going to talk about we're going to say a quick prayer in a minute and close out. But before we do, you've got a program called Majoring in Men. And I want you just to briefly touch on what Majoring in Men is. But if you go to the majoringinmen.com website, on the front page, there's a video and it's right at the top of the page. And you talk a little bit about the project. And in the video, you mentioned a story about somebody who said the guy left.
True story. Yeah. Like Rob Carman, who's one of our great friends, Ed, travels with us and speaks for C of N around the world. Rob Carman said, all my stories are true, or they at least contain truth. but this one's true. And there was a man I asked him, a pastor that I'd met at a meeting. I said, how's your ministry to men going? And he said, oh, man, the guy moved. And I looked at him incredulous, and I said, the guy moved? He said, yeah. I said, you only had one man? You only had one guy in your church, and he moved? He said, no, the guy who was heading it up moved. And the problem was he had committed himself to a hierarchical type of men's ministry. We call it a ministry to men because it comes out of the life of the church. It's part of life. Mm-hmm. And if a guy moves.
What's Majoring in Men? Tell me what that is.
So majoringinmen.com. Majoring in Men is this. You know, Brian, we've become, I believe, in most of our world today, we've become more concerned with the calorie content of our children's lunches than the character content of our children's hearts. So Majoring in Men is how to help men reestablish their heart in a love for God. Majoring in Men is how to build a ministry to men in your church, which then retains our young people because then we build a spirit of fatherhood. Now what also happens, Brian, is an outworking of this for us as leaders and pastors, is when men get on fire for God, they attract other men. Strong men always attract strong men. So more men come in, more people come to Christ. We've seen this proved over empirically, not just an allegory, but empirically, we've seen this proven that when a ministry to men is launched and happens and it's strong and it's robust and we're discipling men, it brings other men. More people get saved. There's less mm-hmm. counseling issues because now we're not counseling all the women who right. have, you know, it's happening within the small groups. And the finances right. of the church go up. In fact, we've tracked it in many, many churches. We see at least a 20% bump on the finances of the church because now the men understand why they're giving and what they're giving. Do they have a spirit of it?
There you go. You just perked there. People's ears just perked up when he said that.
That's real, man. That's where we live, right?
Wow. Right.
You know, so I'm always looking at what if you train your young men how to build businesses? What if 10 years from now, a bunch of men are sitting in a meeting, you're talking about building a new gymnasium. They all look at each other and they go, Pastor, we got it covered right here. Hmm. Changes everything. It's not like we're going to preach a revival on Monday and Tuesday night and Wednesday this whole thing happens. It's process. I mean, let me tell you something, brother. The donkey ride when Joseph took Mary to Bethlehem took a long time. Jesus wasn't born in like 2 weeks just because God could do that in Mary. It was a 9-month deal, man. It was process. God is always a God of process. But the birthing that happens out of process is always, when it's done in Christ, exponential.
Awesome. So it's I'll give the information at the end about how those listening can learn more about majoring in men. Would you mind it as we close here? I know we could talk for a whole long time. And Paul, I think we'll have to have you back on a future podcast if you're open to it. It sounds like you don't have anything else to say, though. That's probably it, right? You're probably done. That's all you got.
Thing's out. That's it. Here's what I'm prompted to pray over right now to those who are listening. Yeah. You know, David, King David, dealt with his whole life. He dealt with a father wound because his dad, you know, he was the 8th son. His dad said, no, if anybody's going to be king, it won't be you. Gideon dealt with it to the point that he didn't father his sons. And we see in Judges, the 8th chapter, where Gideon, when he died, he lost his kingdom. He had 70 sons and not one of them stood up for the family name after he died. I want to pray over father wounds right now. I just feel something in my spirit. And so let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that when Jesus taught us, your son taught us to pray, he said, pray this way, our Father. And there was a reason for giving us that picture. And it was because you wanted to say, I am the Father who shows up. I'm the Father who will always be there. I'm the Father who will not turn his back on you. I'm the Father who will affirm you. I'm the Father who gives you security. I'm the Father who disciplines you, not out of anger, but out of love. Psalm 46, Father, you taught us and told us that you would be there and you would answer. You're our refuge. So, Father, I pray for a friend or two right now who are listening, who still deal with that wound. I pray for a spirit, an unusual grace to forgive would come over my friend right now. I pray, Father, an unusual anointing right now over my friend as they pray, forgive their father. And Lord, I pray that we would all become the fathers that leave a legacy that isn't about just what we did, but what we put into motion in the hearts of those who have followed us. In Jesus' name, we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Paul, for joining us today. And for those listening, hey, we are going to put some information in the show notes where you can learn more about Paul Cole and Christian Men's Network and majoring in men. And I know that Paul and his team are really great about responding to questions. And hopefully this has been very helpful in you and your church as you look at the tactical ways of not only building up men's ministry, but reaching your community and your neighborhood. Paul, wow, thanks again. And thanks for joining me today.
Brian, it was a great blessing. Good to be with you again, brother.
And we'll see you again next time right here on Church Growth Magazine Podcast.